Raise up in. Amen. Come on, let's tell the Lord thank you. Let's give God some praise up in this place. Amen. Come on, you all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right, truly, truly, it is an honor and a privilege for me to be standing up here behind this holy fire, dignified, sanctified, bona fide pulpit. And I am so grateful to see each and every one of you all. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to be up here long. I'm going to get in your way and out the way. It's 12:09 now. So I think we can start eating around about 1:45. I didn't get no amens right there. Okay. I do want to say one thing before I go into the word of God. If anybody doubted, I want you to know that Reverend Haddock did lose weight. Plenty of weight. Amen. The sad part, the whole church should have shouted right there. But I see you all didn't. Amen. Amen. All right. I guess it's time. Let's go ahead, since I ain't going to get no claps right there. Let's go ahead and get to the word of God. Sometimes I wonder why good fortune passes me by. As long as I know I got a seat in the kingdom, it's all right. Sometimes I wonder why good fortune passes me by. Long as I know I got a seat in the kingdom, it's all right. Can I sing another verse right quick? Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Almost level to the ground. Long as I know I got a seat in the kingdom, it's all right. Well, it's all right. Whoa, yeah, 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 Lord, I know it's all right. Said as long as I know I got a seat in the kingdom, it's all right. I just got one more verse and I'm going to get to the word. Is that all right? I went to the valley. I didn't go to stay. But my soul got happy and I stayed all day. Long as I know I got a seat in the kingdom, it's all right. Come on, if you know that song with me, just sing it with me. Well, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I know it's all right. Said as long as I know I got a seat in the kingdom, it's all right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now asking that you hide me behind the cross. Preach to me, through me, and for me. And as I preach, let the burdens fall fresh off of me and of the people, God. We love you and we thank you. This is your servant's prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And all the saints that loved and believed in God said amen, amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give God some praise up in this place right quick. All right, look at somebody. Look at the person next to you and tell them, neighbor, there's a word from the Lord. All right, look at the other person and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. And I am a lover of the word of God. Amen. Amen. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word. Come on now. I know some of y'all know the word now. All right. Those of you that have your Bibles, and I trust that every soldier in here has a sword. I trust you have it. Hold that power up in the air. Maybe it's on your phone or whatever. Hold it up. There we go. Look at all this power. Amen. Let the devil know you didn't come to this place empty handed, because everything is going down but the word of our God. The book of Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. If you don't know, it's kind of far at the back, you know. Far at the back. Amen. It's right before 2 Thessalonians. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 17. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 17. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say, hold up, Haddock. There we go. God bless you. And the Bible gives us this intelligence. Pray without ceasing. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I think just one verse. I think that's all we really just need right there. I think that's really just all we need right there. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to talk to you all today about don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't give up on prayer. Don't let it go. Don't doubt it. Just don't stop praying. Amen? Amen. We're living in a time now where technology has taken an all-time high. Amen? Amen. Everywhere you turn, there is something new that is happening. There's something new that is being put out for us to try and all of the above. Amen, amen. Everywhere you turn around, there is some line or form of communication that has just overtaken. As we look back in certain things, in the early 1800s, we have Alexander Graham Bell creating the telephone. Amen. And then we move a little farther to the 1900s, up until the 1920s, we have the first phone booth. Amen. Then as we go a little bit farther, we have wireless phones. Amen. Then as we go a little bit farther, we have smartphones as we have today. This is the smartphone era. Every time you turn around, new ways of communication is coming. We have the internet. We have emailing. We have faxing. We have all of the above with everything. Every time you turn around, there is something new as it's pertaining to communicating with one another. There is one communication line that has never changed and never will. It don't matter if you got a smartphone. It don't matter if you got a payphone. It don't matter if you got a telegram. It don't matter if you got a letter. But there is one bit of communication that would never change, and that is how we communicate with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Prayer is a vital, direct, and personal conversation with God. It is a time where you and God can communicate with one another. And it is very important that every believer, every Christian, every disciple know how to pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say that again. It is very vital that every believer, every Christian, every disciple know how to pray. Amen. It is important that we pray to God without ceasing. Now, as we are teaching this, let me explain something. We're not talking about just all day, every day, just on your knees, 24/7, this, that, and the other. But we're talking about building a consistent relationship and a consistent pathway to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In order to get to God, you got to be able to pray. You got to be able to pray. Our prayer life has to be consistent and connected. You know, the problem now is that some of us is praying, we're really not connected with God. Okay, let me try to move this a little. We're praying, but we're really not connecting with God, because some of us have been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and we're still praying as if we are a toddler. Some of us have not matured in Christ. Some of us don't take time to learn how to pray. We cannot always continue to say, God is great, God is good, Lord, thank you for the food. We cannot always try to hurry up and get to the food and just say, Jesus wept. I'm steady trying to find the person that made that a prayer. Amen. But when you are praying and when you are connecting with God, it has to be a divine moment to where it's just you and God. Has anybody ever been there to where you had to meet God at the throne of grace and mercy? Okay, y'all acting a little quiet over here. I don't know about you, but I've been through some things to where I had to meet God at the throne of grace and mercy. I didn't care how I looked in front of people. I didn't care what people said. I didn't care how people felt. I didn't care if people thought I was doing too much. When you really and truly got a need from the Lord, you will find out how vital your prayer life needs to be. A consistent prayer life gives you continuous direct communication to your creator. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. A consistent prayer life gives you continuous direct communication with your creator. You have to have a consistent prayer life. It is not enough now that to move on around. Comes a time to where you can't worry about the eyes that's looking at you, but you got to worry about the eyes that's looking directly at your heart. As we go farther through this thing right here, I'm reminded as I was preaching this morning about a man named Job. Y'all know that brother? Y'all know him? Okay, Job was an upright man. Job didn't do no wrong. Job didn't have an issue. Job was blameless. Job was an upright man before God. And God decided to call on Job to go through some tests and trials. Uh-huh. Now, have you ever took time to ask God, who told you to volunteer my services? I know you're all power and I know you're almighty and you can do whatever you want to do, but who actually told you to volunteer me to go through some trials and tribulations that really didn't have nothing to do with me? Have you ever just went through something and you just realized this thought, this really ain't got nothing to do with me? But God decided to choose Job to go through some tests and trials and some tribulations. Job lost everything in about a day's time, according to the word. Amen. And then the Bible tells us that before Job decided to just curse God, Job didn't curse God. He didn't cry out to the Lord asking, woe is me. But the Bible tells us that Job ripped his clothes and he shaved his head and he worshiped God. And every now and again, when you're going through some things, before you cry out to God and woe is me, you got to take time to just first say, Lord, I still thank you. Lord, I still trust in you. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that every day is going to be Sunday. But when you have developed a personal relationship with God, you know that everything eventually is going to be all right, because I found out that it's going to endure for a night. Eventually, something's got to. Joy's got to be coming sometime in the morning. Our prayer life has to be connected with God. Well, Rev, God does not answer my prayer all the time. Why is it God does not answer my prayer all the time? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you why God sometimes won't answer your prayer. Some of us in our prayer lives or in our lives, period, have selfish motives. Yeah, here we go. It's going to get a little tight up in here. Some of us want to pray to God with a selfish mindset and expect God to bless us with a kind heart. Expect God to still watch over us and bless us, but some of us are just flat out selfish. Some of us just nasty minded. Some of us have no good intentions at all. There we go. All right. There we go. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. So, the other reason God sometimes won't bless us, I'm sorry, won't answer our prayer, because we have unconfessed sins. Some of us is walking around here, ain't asked the Lord to forgive you for nothing because you really don't think you done anything wrong. You really just think you're perfect. You're walking around here footloose and fancy free. Somebody tell you that you hurt their feelings or whatever, and you don't take time to apologize, to show compassion. It didn't matter if you think you did it or not. They said, you hurt me. You offended me. Unconfessed sins. One will not answer our prayer. It's because the lack of faith. If you're going to worry, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, don't worry. Let me hang my hat right there. It's a sad Christian that don't have faith in a God that you call yourself praying to. It is a sad Christian that will sit up there and pray to a God that you really don't believe he is going to bring you out. I don't know about you, but we got some living testimonies walking around here in Pilgrim Branch. Amen. We got some real living testimonies in our history. Amen. You got to understand something, that your faith is strengthened by the testimonies of the people. Okay. All right. All right. All right, all right. I don't know. I know that we have a cancer survivor in here. I mean, I know that. That's enough to give God some praise right there. I know we have someone that survived a couple of open heart surgeries in here. Amen. I know we have some people that the doctors gave up on them. Amen. The doctor said they had nothing else to do, but God stepped right in right before the doctor said anything. Is there anybody in here willing to testify and help encourage somebody's faith? Oh, look at the church getting quiet all of a sudden. We got some living, walking testimonies in here. Amen. Next reason God won't hear your prayer is because you have an unforgiving spirit. You're holding on to resentment and anger towards others. One reason God won't answer your prayer is because you have an unforgiving spirit. One reason God would not answer your prayer is because you have an unforgiving spirit. One reason God won't answer prayer is because you have an unforgiving spirit. Here's the problem nowadays, is that we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves and we tell ourselves daily, I have forgiven this person. I have let it go. But in other words, the only thing we're doing is putting on makeup to really hide the ugliness that we are really trying not to show. But makeup can't cover everything. Some of us got to get some real true deliverance. If you want God to forgive you, you got to be willing to forgive somebody else. We walking around. Oh, let me just talk right quick. We walking around here and we harvesting stuff that's been hindering for 10, 20, 30 some years. We ain't let it go. But yet, trying to figure out why God hasn't moved in our lives. It's because you don't have a forgiving spirit. And if you can't forgive down here, God ain't going to forgive you up there. It is because you have been hurt. And it's because you have had some trauma in your life that you feel like you can't really let go and move forward. So everybody else around you is paying the cost for somebody else's mess that you have went through. That's why you can't make it on your job. That's why your marriages is failing. That's why relationships are failing. That's why you can't progress in life, because you have not let go and forgiven someone that has hurt you years ago. You're still harvesting it and holding on to it, and it's festering. And every morning, and it ain't just ladies when I make this statement, because men do it too. Every morning you get up in the morning
get up in the morning, you look in the mirror. Then, ladies, they, brothers, the ladies, they take out a magic marker and they draw. I've been with someone long enough to see what they do, amen. They do that. And men, we get up and we get up and we put all this mask on. And really inside, we're hurting so bad. I want to hang my hat right there right quick. And because we have developed this unforgiving way, mama, we have developed it. It has affected our prayer life. These things that I have mentioned affects your prayer life. And without a prayer life, you cannot progress in God. I'm going to say that again. Without a prayer life, you cannot progress in God. Some of us is just like a flat tire. Deacon Wade, we're flat. We see it all on the outside. The tire's down, Doc, we're flat. But then you take that tire off. I demonstrated this before. I ain't going to do it again, but I'm trying not to, but the Lord is saying, yeah. You take that tire, you get ready to take it off, and you got to jack it up. But before you jack it up, you got to take the little lug nuts off. And the lug nuts sometimes are so hard to... Pretty soon you found out you done spent almost 15 to 20 minutes on one lug nut. And those love nuts represent pain, trauma, unforgiveness, hurt, jealousy, envy, backbiting, lying, lusting, all of this, alcohol, all of this. It represents all of that. And the problem is, here's the crazy part. The lug nut is doing its job by holding the tire together. The lug nut don't realize that the tire is flat. The lug nut don't realize it's a problem. The lug nut is just doing its job, and it really don't want to come off. Here we go. The love nuts represent jealousy, hatred, backbiting, unforgiveness, lying, lusting, jealousy, envy, all of the above. The love nuts don't want to come off because it's doing its job by holding the tire on. But every now and again, that tire got to change because the tire is flat. So now in order for me to get to the tire, I got to take off. In order for me to get fixed, I got to pray lusting off. I got to pray jealousy off. I got to pray hatred off. I got to pray unforgiving off. I got to pray lusting off. I got to pray alcohol. I got to pray all this stuff off. Now, here's the crazy part. I finally done got the tie off. And this brings us back to our initial thing. I take the tire off and I realize the tire wasn't flat. There was a blowout. It looked flat on the outside. Looked like it was just a flat on, you know, something like fixed. But then realized I was busted up on it. You don't realize how busted up you are until you get to the altar. I want to jump back on Job right quick. Job sat there, tore his robe, and shaved his head. In those days, it was a cultural thing. It was a cultural thing that when that happens, it is a cultural thing of brokenness. It is a cultural thing of humbling. It was a cultural thing of grief and mourning. It was a cultural thing to be broken down in front of God. And then Job. Yeah, there it is. So I'm calling out names that's having a Job experience as it is. So, you know, Jordan is having his Job experience. And anybody else in here having a Job experience or done had one? That's all right. If you ain't had one yet, get ready for it. It's coming. Here's what's going on. Job sat there and worshiped God and said, "Naked I came, and naked I shall leave. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." I'm implied to say that Job was a praying man. I'm almost out of here. Matter of fact, yep, right on time. When you're praying, I'm going to give you four things, and then I'm out of here. Y'all give me 10 minutes, I'll let you know when to start counting. The first thing you need to do in your prayer life is first give God praise. Before you ask for anything, give God some praise. Give God the praise he's just due. Because he didn't have to wake you up this morning. He didn't have to start you on your way. He didn't have to put food on your table, clothes on your back, or roof overhead. He didn't have to show you grace and mercy. God didn't have to cover you. God didn't have to keep a hedge of protection over you. God didn't have to do anything for you. So I am obliged to believe that when I get up or when I get ready to pray, the first thing I need to do is say, "Thank you, Lord." And you know what's crazy? When you're really praying and thanking God, when you're really praying and thanking God, you haven't even got to ask him anything yet. Because you're too busy giving him praises. Because if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. So the first thing I got to do is give God some praise. The next thing I got to do is actually thank him for the pardon. And when I'm praying, I got to thank God for the pardon. Thank him for forgiving me for all of my sins. Thank you for watching over me in my sinful ways. Thank you for not taking me out when you could have taken me out. When that bullet passed me up from the club, I could tell the Lord, thank you. When I almost overdosed, I could tell the Lord, thank you. I'm trying to help somebody understand that first off, I got to tell the Lord, thank you for pardoning me because you loved me better than I loved my own self sometimes. Is it just me? Maybe it's just me. Maybe some of y'all are just too cute, so you don't want nobody really know some of your business, but that's all right. But I know I'm not the only one that's been through some tests and trials in here. See, that's the problem. You know what goes on now? Everybody want to tell the cutesy stuff. And you can't find true deliverance under that cutesy stuff. Child, I had a cold. And the Lord, ooh, he just healed me. Thank you. Child, my foot was hurting. Lord, bless my foot. Thank you. I'm glad the Lord did all that. But when someone's really battling with something, when someone is really dealing with something, we ain't got to tell you, but we need to know that we ain't the only ones going through some things up here. That you hear I ain't just saying y'all. I said we need to know we ain't the only ones going through some things around here. We need to know that we done battled with some things. We need to know that we done dealt with some issues. You got to be willing and able sometimes just to break it down to people. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in and shined a little light from it. That's why some of y'all can't minister to people, because you're not willing to invite people into your old world. You want them to see all the glory, but you don't want to let them know about the story. Tell God God pardoned you of your sins. Even when you kept doing it, the same thing. Some of us just made it to church today. Some of us was down there right off emancipation. Don't ask Reverend how I know. I ain't been saved all my life. Down at the spot. Grooves. The Savoy Lounge. Peaches. Park Place. The sad part is the people that don't know about these places, they now looking them up right now. For my Seasoned Saints Chicago Bar and Grill. You see, the Seasoned Saints got choir right up and down, right up in there, didn't they? Thank the Lord for pardoning me of what I've done and how I lived. The next part of your prayer should be the petition. Now, Lord, I done said all of that. I done gave you praise, and I gave you all the praise right now. I told you thank you. Thank you for pardoning me. Now, Father God, I come before you today, head bowed and body bent, before your throne of grace and mercy. Some of us got to get to a point to where we are petitioning God, to where it does not matter how it looks, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to the grace, the throne of grace and mercy. We have to elevate our prayer life now. We want God to protect us, but we don't want to actually get down and actually pray to God. But I found out somewhere that he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide. Come on, y'all. Come on. Shall abide under the shadow of the umbrella. You got to be willing to pray. Where prayer hasn't been working for me. What do you do when God gives you the answer you wasn't expecting? What do you do when God tells you no? What do you do when God says no? What do you do when God lets you know that's not aligned with my will? What do you do when it feels like God has turned his back on you? I'll tell you what you do. The first thing you did in your prayer life, you praise God. Second thing you did in your prayer life, you thank God for pardoning you. The third thing you did in your prayer life is that you petition God. You will let God know everything that you needed from him. And then you feel like God's turning ear to you. You feel like God is not listening. The fourth thing you do is praise God. I know the first one is aligned up with praising God. But before you in your prayer, you still got to praise God. Why am I praising God? Had I because I'm praising God for what I know he's already getting ready to do. Because I already know that he's working it out before I even finish my prayer. God is not shy to my voice when I start praying. If you want God to hear you, you have to have a divine connection with him. You got to be willing and able to stop what you're doing sometimes and really just pray to the Lord. Amen. God himself, Jesus himself prayed 3 times the same prayer. And why do I tell you that? Because sometimes you got to keep praying the same prayer in order to get the deliverance you need. Sometimes you got to keep going to God with the same thing. It's not that God is not listening. It's God wants to know how serious you are. God wants to know how powerful your prayer life is. God wants to know, do you trust me even when I don't give it to you right there? Will you let go of me just because I didn't say yes? How far will you go with God? God wants to know in your prayer life, are you willing to still come to me? Are you willing to still give me praise? Are you willing to still tell a dying world that Jesus is the only way? God wants to know. That's why he tested Job. He want to know that if I take everything away from you, will you still praise me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. And the Bible teaches us that they went down there checking. And he said, are they down there? He said, behold, I see four men down there. The three that we threw in there. And there's another man. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Daniel in the lion's den. The king came down to check on Daniel. Said, Daniel, are you there? He said, here I am, Lord. Here I am, king. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know a brother that was sitting by the pool of Bethesda. He couldn't get to the water until Jesus came by. Jesus told him to get to the water. He got to the water, got made whole. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There was a time in the Bible to where the Lord Jesus created the biggest fish fry with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm also reminded of Jesus when in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying to the Lord. He prayed to him 3 times. The same prayer. He said, Lord, if this cup shall pass from me, let it pass. And in the same manner, he said, but not my will, but thy will be done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I heard that they walked up a hill called Calvary. I heard that they hung them high and they stretched them wide. I haven't heard somebody say, if you're rid of the king, why don't you get on down, save you and save us too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the same manner, I heard a thief turn to him and say, we deserve to be on this cross, for this man has done nothing wrong. But Father, please forgive me. And this day, can I be with you in paradise? Jesus turned and said, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I heard that he hung up there from the 6th to the 9th hour. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I heard even in the same manner, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in the same manner, I heard him look up toward the heavens and say, Father, it is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I heard that they brought him down off that cross. And I heard that they put him in a borrowed tomb. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I heard he stayed there all Friday. I heard he stayed there all day Saturday. I heard he stayed there all night Saturday. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I heard a woman came down and the grave was no more. He said, why seek ye death among the living? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because bright early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Touch somebody and tell them, neighbor, that's got to be Jesus. Jesus is my only way. Jesus is my way out. Jesus is my way maker. When I pray, I'm praying for forgiveness. When I pray, I'm praying for a new way. When I pray, I'm praying for a way out. When I pray, I'm praying for a broken spirit. When I pray, I'm giving my life over to God. When I pray, I'm asking him to touch my heart. When I pray, I'm letting go of all my trials. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, don't give up on prayer. Prayer still works. Prayer still works. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Paul told him, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. It looks rough. Don't stop praying. It looks tough. Don't stop praying. And even when you feel like you want to stop praying, don't stop praying. Find you someone to come to that's going to encourage you. And if you got somebody in your life that ain't lifting you up, and I ain't just talking about a spouse, well, I'm just talking about people in general, that ain't lifting you up and telling you that everything is going to be all right, get rid of that person, because that person ain't no good for you. God can't answer our prayers because we got too many leeches that we've been carrying with us. Let the leech go. and don't stop praying. May God bless you and keep you. It's my prayer.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."